You guys were so energetic this morning when you were coming in. It was wonderful to see. I'm not sure if it's the, well, I'm pretty sure it's the weather outside is at least part of it. But at least I know from my family's perspective, a little bit of that might also be that school starts back up tomorrow. All the kids excited for that? What are you going to do? We've got a wonderful day of worship in store, whether you're joining us in person or online. I want to welcome you to Midland First United Methodist Church, where we are helping one another and our community learn what it means to grow, to know, love, and serve Jesus Christ as we continue to maintain our commitment to the cross. I have just a couple of announcements before we get started today. And the first one is one that I wanted to highlight, and it has to do with Lay Servant Ministries. Now, how many of you are familiar with Lay Servant Ministries? Okay. So I'll tell you something really quick. My first foray into preaching came from Lay Servant Ministries, though back in my day, they were known as Lay Speakers. And so I took these classes because I wanted to have an opportunity to preach in my church. And as I continued through my ministry, I would invite people to participate in these ministries. And they would always say the same thing. Gee, Pastor, that sounds great, but I don't want to preach. And I'm here to tell you that that's not what Lay Servant Ministries is. It can be, but there is so much more that Lay Servant Ministries offers. And the reason I'm talking about that today is you'll notice on the window to my office and also on the main reception desk out by the parking lot, we have these informational packets about the Lay Servant Ministries Fall Retreat, which is coming up September 25th and 26th at White Lake United Methodist Church in Montague. There's information on that packet, but I want to point you to the introduction to lay ministry class because that's if you're for stepping into this for the first time, that is the class that you're going to want to sign up for. Participants will be encouraged to discover and employ their personal spiritual gifts and to consider the importance of exercising servant leadership, developing future leaders, and remaining rooted in consistent spiritual practices while being part of a group that holds members accountable in their discipleship. So if you're interested or you have any questions about that, I invite you to come and talk to me and at your convenience, or if you don't want to talk face-to-face, you can leave a message on the phone or call me during office hours. Let's see if we can get a few more lay servants into our church this year. September 13th is going to be what we consider our kickoff Sunday, which is the Sunday most, if not all, of our fall programming is officially going to kick off, and that includes a lot of our music ministries, including the Joyful Bells and the Carolyn Choir and all of those wonderful groups that you all know and love. If you are interested in participating in any of those, please talk to Carla for the choir part or Nathan for the bells part. And if you have any additional questions, you can reach out to any of the clergy and we can get you pointed in the right direction for that. The following Sunday, September 20th, is going to be our fall festival, and that's the one you see all the posters for around the building on all of the tables. The fall festival is going to begin right after church services on September 20th. There's going to be food. There's going to be fun. There's going to be music. There's going to be a bounce house. Oh, that caught all the kids' attention, that one. So if you can come, we would love for you to be there. If you want to invite your neighbors, your friends, you are, of course, welcome to do that. It's going to be a great afternoon of fun and fellowship. We hope to see you there for that. And then last, before we stand up to greet one another, I need to make a couple of introductions for all of us today. You might notice that Gabrielle is not here. She is on vacation, and filling in for her today on the organ is Ruth Bonesire, who is a retired teacher consultant who has served over 30 years in the education field. Ruth is married and enjoys spending time with her grandchildren and is a gifted clarinetist and organist and often uses her skills for the betterment of the wider Michigan music community in Cadillac and at Interlochen and beyond. Ruth, thank you for being here today. You see her? She's right up there. And we also have a guest preacher today, and it's one many of you know, and that would be the Reverend Dr. Carl Price. For those of you who might not be familiar with Carl, he served in active ministry in the Detroit Annual Conference from 1962 to 1998. He served as the senior pastor of Midland First United Methodist Church for 25 years, from 1973 to 1998. We are blessed to have Carl and his wife, Pat, as active members of our congregation. Dr. Price is also going to be offering one of three Bible study classes this fall, and his is an introduction to the Bible. So participants in that class are going to be learning how the Bible came to be, what the different books in the Bible are about, what's the difference between wisdom literature and prophets, and how does the New Testament and the Old Testament congeal together to form a coherent theology. It's going to be a wonderful class, and I encourage people to sign up for that. So let us go ahead and look forward to our time and worship with Carl Price once again.
God scatters the seeds of reconciliation and love and waits.
So much of it lands on flat pathways or rocky roads and won't take root.
God scatters the seeds of healing and hope and waits.
Shallowness and fear plant the seeds and they cannot live.
God scatters the seeds of redemption and peace and waits.
These are the places
May our hearts be rich soil in which God's love takes root. If you would please remain standing as you are able and join us in singing our congregational opening hymn, You Are the Seed, found in the pew hymnals number 583 or on the screen in front.
Thank you.
Amen, and please be seated.
Good morning. My name is Brad Wagoner. I'm the Director of Family Ministries. Is that right? Yep. Director of Family Ministries here at the church, and I'm excited. We are celebrating back to school. Some of us are celebrating back to school. Some are not so much. But we want to invite the kids to come up with their backpacks for the blessing of the backpacks. And while they're coming, we have another group that we want to make sure. Kids, you can go ahead and work your way up here. We want to make sure that they are prayed for and blessed this morning as well. That is our teachers, our administrators, our staff members. If you are one of those and you want to come up and get prayed for, you can. Or just stand up so that we know that you're out there, whichever you prefer. Kids, we want you to come line up right up here. We want all the people out here to see your friendly, smiley faces. So look at them. We're going to turn it over to Pastor Brian. He's going to pray for us.
This is everybody's friendly reminder that the Psalms are not all only just a place to find joy and thanksgiving, but also laments. Let's take a moment to spend some time in prayer as we bless all of these individuals as we start the new school year. God of seasons, God of life, God of love, we give you thanks for journeying with us throughout these summer months as we have taken some time to rest or taken some time to relax or taken some time to continue to do the work that you have called us to do. And as we sit here on the day before the beginning of our school year this year, we would ask that you bless these students, the teachers, the administrators from daycare and preschool, all the way up into the echelons of college and trade schools, that they all might have a wonderful year where they can grow and learn and continue to become the people that you know they can be. We give you thanks for journeying with all of them and look forward to the ways that you will guide them in the days ahead as we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. So now you guys are all excited for school now, right?
No, not really.
Huh? Yes. Well, tell you what, you guys are going to go spend some time in the day of prayer room so you can pray about it.
If you're going back to your parents, you can go with your parents.
Thank you.
Whether we have had good weeks or bad weeks, as we take a moment to reflect on the journeys that we have been on, we have brought with us all of those experiences, as well as those joys, concerns, praises, and prayer requests. I invite us to hold those in our hearts as we take a moment to spend some time in prayer with our God. Almighty God, we give you thanks for planting within us the seeds that you continue to cultivate. For you, O great gardener, have been instilling those seeds in us from the days before we even knew your name. You have been watching us and guiding us and filling us with the presence and power of the Spirit in the hopes that we might in turn go out into this world to share of the fruits, those gifts that you have put into our lives. Lord, we do our best to share those gifts, but you know oftentimes better than we do that there are times when we fall short. There are times when we don't stand up. There are times when we struggle. In those times, we give thanks for your grace and your mercy. We ask for forgiveness for those times, that you might guide us in the days ahead through the presence and power of your Spirit. Lord, as we've journeyed through this world, we not only have been collecting our own joys and praises, our own concerns and prayer requests, but we also bring with us the worries and the concerns of those whom we have encountered, family, friends, acquaintances, strangers. And as we gather them up and lay them at your altar on this day, we pray that just as we have felt you in our lives, so too might those we lift up be still and know that you are God. We give to you the prayers that we have brought with us for this community, for the surrounding communities, and the communities in which our friends and loved ones reside. We give to you the prayers we've brought with us for this country and its people, and the prayers that we hold in our hearts for our brothers and sisters in Christ and our brothers and sisters in humanity around the world. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us that when we pray, we should pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It is a blessing that God has been cultivating the seeds of our hearts, the seeds of our faith, and he continues to do that, not only for all of us as individuals, but also for us as a portion of the body of Christ, as the gathered brothers and sisters in the faith. And we give thanks for all of those seeds while we also look ahead to the seeds that we as a community will continue to plant in this community and around the world. Seeds that we can plant not only through the power of the Spirit, but also through our prayers, our presence, and our service, and of course, our tithes and our offerings. In just a moment, our ushers are going to be coming around to collect any of those tithes and those offerings. Ushers, you may come forward when ready. God of life and love, we give you thanks for all of the blessings that you surround us with in this life. Accept these tithes and these offerings that we return to you this morning in the form of money and ourselves, that you might once again send them and us out into this community, the surrounding communities, and throughout the world, that we might come alongside you to plant seeds. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, ushers. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. And today we're going to be hearing from the New Revised Standard Version. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. But other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Make the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Most Bible commentaries call the passage of Scripture that was read this morning the parable of the seed and the soil, or sometimes just the parable of the soil. And that's what Jesus talked about. I mean, he focused on the kind of ground it was and what happens to the seed when it got there. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And then he moves on into that description of the field and the results from the seeds. And the same thing again a few verses later when he interprets the parable to the disciples. It never talks about the sower. Now, I don't want to argue at all with that application because that's the way Jesus applied it. It was about the seed and about the soil. But this morning I'd like to spend a few minutes and ask us to think about the sower, because I think it tells us something about God that Jesus wanted us to think about, at least. And then word about the seed and the soil. Have you ever asked yourself, what kind of sower sows seed in a field like that? There's rocky ground. There's brambles growing. There's weeds that are going to choke it out. There are hungry birds just waiting to gobble it up. What kind of sower sows seeds in a field like that? As I was thinking about this sermon, I asked that question to a friend, and he replied, somebody who doesn't know much about agriculture. and we both chuckled about it. But as I pondered that question, another answer came to mind. Who sows seeds in fields like that? A sower that has that kind of field to sow in. How's that for profound? But the fact of the matter is, the kind of field that Jesus was talking about was described the kind of fields that a lot of his hearers that day had to work in. These were in a bunch of the rich owners of the few really fertile spots around that country didn't have many of anyway. They knew that kind of field. No Michigan peat, black soil for them. Well, the rabbis like to tell stories, as Jesus did. Sometimes they told him to make a point, but sometimes they told him just for humor, for fun. One of their fun stories was about, he said, when God was creating the world, he sent angels with bags of stone to fly and distribute the stones over the world. And one of the angels flying over the land of Israel, the sack tore. And some of the stones that were designed for the other parts of the world fell on Israel. That's the kind of soil a lot of it was. And so his hearers knew about that. But part of what this says to me is a call to recognize that God doesn't have a perfect field in which to sow. There are thorns and weeds and rocky places, and birds are waiting to devour it. And with all that understanding, with all that there comes the understanding, you have to work with what you have. Ralph Waldo Emerson said it well in his essay, Self-Reliance. He wrote, "There comes a time when every man called up must realize that no kernel of wheat will come to him until he cultivates that portion of soil that falls to him." And you can read that to include her. I'm sure Ralph wouldn't mind. The sower has to work with what he or she has. And the world is not all fertile seed for the seeds of God. But such as it is, God sows the seed. Consider this parable in a broader manner. It reminds me of the roughness of soil in parts of the world, especially in some of our areas of mission work. There are places in Africa from which returning Americans can have an almost irresistible urge to kiss the ground and hug the first custom officers that they see. In fact, in a missionary gathering in my last visit to Zaire some years ago now, it was called Zaire, now it's the Democratic Republic of Congo, and we had two significant mission projects there. But the missionary was saying that when last time he went home, when he told the customs officer, when he asked, as they always do, "Where are you coming from?" When he said Zaire, he said, man took off his cap and bowed and said, "Welcome home." It isn't always just a matter of the travel connections not working out. That can happen any place and does these days. It's remembering to take a glass of water that's been boiled and filtered to rinse out your mouth and wash your toothbrush when you brush your teeth. It's remembering of soaping and rinsing off part of your body at a time. So if the water goes off in the middle of a shower, you don't have quite so much of a problem. Or being frustrated because the electricity fails when you're partway through some project, if you're having a house that has electricity, so that isn't any way to deal with that. It's remembering that it's Sunday and so you have to take your once a week malaria. And finding a pile of termite dust and vials and bottles and hypodermic needles and half a bushel of dust where a box of supplies had been the evening before. It has to do with roads that are non-existent or almost impassable during the rainy season, the fuel that is inaccessible even if you could afford it, and rules and regulations of the man with a gun who stops you as an officer on the road or at a border crossing. It's a matter of remembering that there are towns and cities the size of Midland where there's literally no employment. And people in the rural areas thinking it was useless to grow more food than they could eat because there was no way to get it to the market in the cities where they were looking for it. Our church still sends a little money to a hospital in Kapanga, Zaire, where Pat and I visited in the 1970s. It was one of our church's larger projects at the time. And there was a young woman, this was in a little later, 1984, there was a young woman in our congregation named Janet England. She was studying to be a doctor, and her parents, Marge and Stan, were members of the church and had been on our mission team. And so Janet knew about that hospital in Zaire, and she came to me and she said, "Carl, is there any possibility the church would sponsor me for my internship at that hospital in Zaire?" And so that's what we did. The church, before the revolution, had electricity and dependable service for the people, but under the new dictator that faded away. They had generators, but with the inaccessible roads that they developed, and they couldn't get it there if they could afford it. So the generators weren't dependable. And so when Janet came home on her visit and was talking about what she'd seen and found there, she said to me, "Carl, I want to put a solar unit in that hospital. I'm tired of delivering babies by Coleman lantern." And so we did that too. But the point is, I could go on with that kind of thing, is what kind of sower sows seeds in fields like that? And the answer again is the sower who has those kind of fields to sow. But lest you think all the problems fields for the gospel are third world countries, let me ask you, what kind of sower sows seeds in a field that would rather grow pornography or drug addiction or promote online gambling or flaunt lifestyles that have little relationship and appearance to the people around them? What kind of sower sows seeds in fields like that? That's the kind of stuff that we're dealing with in this country. I once asked the missionaries there what they considered the greatest contribution of the missionary movement in the land where they were working. And in spite of the hunger and the need of medical attention and education, all projects which they were working on, they said the greatest contribution from that ministry was the changes that it brought to the lives of people. How it opened up doors for them and helped them deal with witchcraft and gave a sense of deliverance to their lives. We probably have difficulty recognizing any problem with witchcraft. That's something we think of comes along in scary movies. But I would suggest that the difference between the witchcrafts in Africa and the materialism of American culture is more the matter of one kind of witch versus another. They're both places where the gospel has a hard time growing. Who sows seeds in places like Congo? The same guy that sows seeds in places like Detroit, from New York, or London, or Moscow, or Midland. Not only does it make the harvest difficult, but it's hard to sow the seeds there. But that leads to another comment about the sower. A sower that sows seeds in places like that has to be a hopeful sower. One that has confidence in the goodness of the seed, dependence on the power of growth, and trust that some of it is going to grow. When I was, when I was working on this sermon, I had another thought about the matter of this parable and how it might be a parable of our individual lives instead of just a parable of the world in general. Aren't our lives sometimes a little like that field? Mixed soil? Do all of the teachings of Christ bring the same fruit every place in our lives? Or do some of them do a little better than others, and maybe some of them hardly at all? A long time ago, I heard a verse about the difference on Sunday singing and praying and Monday wheeling and dealing. It went something like, they're praising God on Sunday, they'll be all right on Monday. It's just a little habit they've acquired. A few weeks ago, I saw an article on the internet whose headline read something like this: Teachings of Jesus That Christians Aren't Doing. So I made a note of a few of them. Treating people the way you want to be treated. Being a peacemaker when it's easier to pick a side. Turning the other cheek instead of hitting back. Ignoring your own issues while pointing out the deficiencies of others. Loving the people who sometimes make your life more difficult. How's our little patch doing? Growing the same each place? And how about that what's been called the Great Commission of Jesus? Remember what it was? The last words he spoke before he ascended back into heaven. Now do you remember it? Go, make disciples. How are we doing on that one? Invited anyone to church lately? Told anyone what a fine preacher and what good staff we have here? Jeremy didn't pay me to say that. I don't take money. I don't take money for preaching anymore. About the music, about the mission outreach, about the small groups, about the lovely place in which we have together. Told anyone about any of that? Back when I had the privilege of receiving people into the life of this church, one of the questions I always ask them is, why did you come to this church in the first place? In those days, we didn't have internet, didn't have a website. We had a nice sign out on the corner out here. We had the television going. We had a radio broadcast 3 Sundays a month. For a little while, we had a Sunday evening Vesper broadcast. Then we had a weekly article and a notice in the Midland Daily News, which in those days more people subscribed to than they do now. But I was always interested in knowing, how are we doing with that stuff? Why did you come to church the first time here? You know what they said? Most of them. Somebody invited me. Now we've got the internet and the websites. But the surveys they've taken still say the same thing. What brings people to church the first time? Somebody asks them, invites them, maybe even brings them. And so we come to the soil. First thing to keep in mind about soil is that garden spots can be improved. Weeds can be plowed under. Stones can be gathered up. Have you ever seen a pile of stones along a field, maybe when you're driving sometimes, or maybe a stack out in the middle? Somebody went around that field and got them up from where they were, where they would nick and chip the plow, and moved them to a stack where the plows could go around them. You ever been driven through some of the New England states, the back roads, and some of those neat little stone walls on both sides of the road some places? They didn't just grow there, you know. They came to be markers and boundary settings and all that sort of thing, but a lot of them came from the fields. So they had a place to plant a garden, to make a yard. That's where they ended up. Somebody got them out of the field. I made some of those little piles of stone on my grandfather's farm in West Virginia. We didn't have a perfect garden spot. And there are weeds sometimes. Weeds can be dug out with a cultivator, one of those monster machines with tires that are taller than I am, high. But you can do it too with a little hand plow. The cultivator blade's not much wider than the span of my hand. Or just a hoe. I used those too on that little garden because it needed it quite a bit sometimes. Birds need scaring off. I help build scarecrows. And on the parsonage here in Midland, we had a little patch of raspberries, and the birds loved it. So come berry time, we learned to put a net across it to keep the birds away. Garden spots can be improved, and so can lives. Little bits at a time, or a lot all at once. One final thought before we leave. Seeds can last a long time. After the Blitz bombings in England and Germany during the wars, people later found flowers blooming in some of the rubble heaps. Some of them flowers I hadn't seen before, from years ago. How'd they happen? Seeds that people had stored away in the basement, seeds that had been dropped and left down there, and the bomb blast brought them to the surface and exposed them to sunlight and moisture, and they bloomed. But that's just the beginning. In the 2,000-year-old ruins of a fortress, Jewish fortress on the sea edge of the Dead Sea, a place called Masada, they found seeds in some of those caves or those rooms. 2,000 years old. Some of them still germinated and grew. And not only that, explorers in Alaska and in the north say that they have found seeds encased in the ice that are estimated to be 10,000 years old. And some of those germinated too. You think it's too late to work in your field? Not at all. The seeds are still good. God's seed has a long life. And you can help that seed to grow in you no matter how long ago it was planted or how recently. Or you can make a spot and let it plant today. This hopeful sower God has sown his seed in us and hopes. So in addition to our own patch, he's entrusted us the task of sharing the seeds in other fields. We're called to be sowers as well as growers. So let's tend our own patch a bit, huh? And help God's seed grow best wherever it can, here and everywhere. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Reverend Dr. Carl Price, everybody. Thank you for sharing a good word today. Our closing hymn this morning can be found in the supplement to the hymnal, The Faith We Sing. It's number 2130, The Summons, and I want to invite us all to stand as we are able.
Thank you.
also need to thank our son Sam for being in the bullpen up there. So some of you were here one Sunday 3-4 years ago when he had to be up there in my place. I wasn't there, but I was in the hospital, I think, that from the night before, and Sam pitch hit and did an excellent job, so I thank him for being there today, just in case. Would you receive the benediction? And now may the blessings of Almighty God, the love of Jesus Christ, his Son, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, fill your hearts and direct your lives, now and forevermore. Amen.